This is Okadowski of WeAreChange.org, and today we have a very special treat for you. We have James Corbett of the Corbett Report, an amazing investigative journalist that has remained solid, unlike all the other alternative independent media that have kind of swam off a little bit towards the establishment. But James has been doing really incredible work for the last few years. He's located in Japan, and I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about the inevitable catastrophic, horrible situation that's unfolding with North Korea, because it seems like a clash is inevitable with that country. It seems totally out of control. And I wanted to have James on today to bring context to the story and give you the real side of the story, unlike the crap you're hearing from the mainstream media. So first of all, James, how are you? And what the hell's going on with North Korea?
Well, I'm all right, but unfortunately you're right. It is like watching some kind of car wreck happening in slow motion, looking at what's happening with North Korea right now. And I'm getting the front row seat here in Japan, where, of course, North Korea just launched four new missiles and a missile test that landed in the Sea of Japan, not far from where I'm sitting. So, of course, that was just a test. But we know where this is heading, and we know what ultimately is going to result from this, or at least where it seems to be heading. And I've got a simple solution to the entire North Korean issue. I just follow what the Chinese foreign minister Wang Yi said the other day. He said basically, hey guys, why don't you stop the annual simulated invasion of North Korea, dropping dummy nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula, and everything you do every single year, you in the U.S. and South Korea doing your joint military exercise called Eagle Foal, look it up, people, why don't you guys stop doing that, and we'll get the North Koreans to stop the nuclear program. How about that, guys? Hey, problem solved, right? Well, unfortunately, that's not going to be solved quite so easily, because North Korea is never just about North Korea. North Korea is a proxy for everything else happening in the entire Asia-Pacific region. It's about the Japanese-U.S. security relationship, it's about the U.S. Troops stationed in South Korea, and of course it's about the proxy war with China and ultimately Russia as well, so no one's going to take them up on that olive branch.
Yeah, we have seen the United States just set up anti-missile defense shields inside of South Korea, with the Chinese and Russians protesting that move. So obviously there's a lot of geopolitical forces here that aren't really mentioned, especially in the U.S. mainstream media. I didn't even know about these war games that you mentioned about. But what is your take on Russia's position, China's position, and the United States' position in this? Because it seems like they both see a common crazy person, but they both see it from different kind of objectives. So where's China, Russia standing on this, and where's the U.S. standing on this?
Well, just to follow up on that military exercise, because it is important. It's called Eagle Foal. It takes place every year, and it's a joint South Korean U.S. simulated invasion of North Korea, and every single year they put on this military exercise, and North Korea responds in some way, usually with a missile launch or a nuclear test or something. It happens every single year like clockwork, and this year is no exception. They're doing their military exercise, and now it becomes this. So please do look that up. But what this means in terms of China and Russia and NATO and all of that, I mean, as I say, this is kind of the proxy war of a sort that's going on. And let's not mince words. It is still a war. South Korea and North Korea are still at war. They just have a ceasefire that's just been in effect for the last half century. But they're still at war, and the U.S. is still a belligerent in that war. And China and North Korea are on the other side of that. So, I mean, this is really the place where the big powder keg can all explode. And of course, China and Russia keep protesting the deployment of these missile defense systems, like the THAAD that you mentioned that they're deploying in South Korea right now, the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, which of course it's just missile defense, and it's defense against those crazy North Koreans who keep doing these missile launches, right? Well, second, two points about that. One is that missile defense systems are only one key part of an offensive military capability, because you need to have the ability to defend yourself against the inevitable counterstrikes that come from a military invasion. So every military planner knows that missile defense systems are part of an offensive system. But secondarily, of course, these, like the THAAD that's being deployed in South Korea, it can certainly be used against North Korea, but it can also be used against China. And China knows that very well. And it's like the missile defense systems in Eastern Europe. And they're saying, no, this isn't for Russia. This is in case Iran develops some capability and interest in sending nukes halfway across the world. You know, honest. We all know where this is heading. And again, so China and Russia are well aware of this. They protest it. They're also offering the olive branch. Hey, guys, let's stop this nuclear program. All we want is for you guys to stop doing this military exercise. But for some reason, the U.S. isn't even, considering that option, let alone taking them up on it.
You literally took the words out of my mouth, because my next question was, we've seen Barack Obama say that the missile defense systems in Europe were for Iran, but they really were for Russia. And we know that through the aggression that's been happening. I just made a video 2 days ago talking about Trump's foreign policy towards Russia, which has been extremely aggressive and kind of totally distorts this whole Russian hysteria that's been out there, because he has been tough, if not tougher than Barack Obama, creating the Cold War and sustaining it like his predecessor did. So we're seeing rising tensions now, especially with Russia, but even more with China, with the heated talk going beyond them. So you're definitely right. This is a counter peg kind of a situation that could go off any time. The last time the North Koreans sent off their missiles towards Japan was when the Japanese prime minister was with Donald Trump golfing, and they had to interrupt their golfing stance. How do you see Donald Trump with this new kind of commander in chief that he is, with those kind of torn relations with China and the aggressive moves he has made against Russia so far? How do you see him handling this? Because many people are saying that this is going to be the worst challenge that he's going to have to face.
Yeah, and it's a convenient one for all the military warmongers that he's appointed to every single position in his cabinet. I've been calling it since the election that they're just flipping the boogeyman script. Whereas Hillary Clinton absolutely would have pressed the Cold War with Russia, I think that the Trump administration is going to push the Cold War with China. And speaking of that, people like Peter Navarro, who he's appointed to his National Trade Council, writing books like Death by China and The Coming War with China and books like that. I mean, the people that he's appointing to high office are people who have made an entire career out of how they need to start a war with China. So I think we know which way the wind is blowing when it comes to issues like this. And the North Korean situation is the perfect excuse. Instead of saying, okay, guys, let's stop the military exercise, let's work out an actual peace between North and South Korea. Or if the other option is, hey guys, let's press this and make sure that North Korea gets hemmed into a corner where they're going to go do something crazy, and then we use that as an excuse to take over the Korean Peninsula as a way of further surrounding our Chinese foes, which option do you think people like Peter Navarro and other people that Trump has appointed to office are going to choose? I really do not understand people who think that Trump is some sort of Prince of Peace Messiah who's going to save us from the war complex as he's increasing the military budget by another $50 or $60 billion or whatever it is. No, Trump is all about war, and this is let's hope it is just a Cold War, because at least then it's only the multi-billion-dollar boondoggle rather than actual nuclear confrontation.
Yeah, and he's expanding the biggest waste that the government has, and it's insane. And he has a lot of CFR members within his cabinet. The last time we saw tensions between him and China go on, he had Henry Kissinger come all the way over to China to meet with their leadership and try to calm things down over Taiwan. So there's definitely a lot more conflict here. And I think a lot of people are blinded to it because they like to pretend, like you said, that they're kind of hope drunk, like we saw with Barack Obama. Like, yes, he's going to do everything great. But in actuality, when you look at all the little details, when you look at all the things that's happening, especially with Iran, with the travel ban list inside of Syria, with the safe zones, you're like, wait, hold the hell on here. Now, people are saying he only has a month and we'll see what happens. But you could see the deep state, the establishment, the mainstream media push this anti-war agenda, push this kind of pro-war military industrial complex industry that has been running this country for decades. So it's really fascinating seeing everything unfold, because you're seeing one side of the story here. There's a little conflict to it here. The Vault 7 releases came out under him, whether that was somewhat of him as responsibility or not. There's something happening here. We're not getting the full story. James, you do amazing, incredible work. The link to your YouTube channel will be in the description below, so people can check out all the incredible crowdsourced, fundraised work, because you do this fully independently as well, just like we do. You rely on people's donors. You rely on the fruits of your labor to survive, and you do an incredible job at it. I want people to support you, and I want people to watch your channel. But I'm going to leave you with the last words here on this whole kind of, again, very confusing situation that we're all kind of untangling together.
Well, the last word is that peace would be remarkably easy to achieve and would be remarkably not only cheap, but would pay for itself in the dividends that we could get by trading with North Korea and becoming engaged with North Korea rather than putting on the sanctions, which only allows the North Korean government to further strangle its people, almost literally, as people turn to starvation and even cannibalism in some cases because of the way that the North Korean government strangles off the aid that it receives towards the people. It would be so much easier to engage with them and to start to open it up and to make and to de-escalate the situation. But surprise, surprise, it's the pedal to the metal mentality that's going to prevail here because of the military-industrial complex and the hundreds of billions of dollars per year that they receive from the U.S. government is going to make sure that people's pockets are lined and they laugh all the way to the bank, even as we get closer to the nuclear brink. And even if the game plan here is not to start a hot war, the more that this situation gets pushed and the more we get towards that nuclear precipice, the easier it will be for some hothead on some day to make an accident or a mistake or to misread a situation and to start a real war. This is dangerous stuff, and I think it's total insanity.
I knew I could always rely on you for happy, positive news. James, you're awesome. Thank you again so much for everyone watching, subscribing, staying tuned, and of course, crowdsourcing, fundraising, real independent media like James Corbett and the very channel you're watching right now. Thank you again so much for watching. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot more coming here on youtube.com/we, our change.